Welcome back to our final segment of the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Albert Morales, and today's conversation is with Dr. Robert Childs, Senior Director at the Information Resources Management College within the National Defense University. Also joining us today from IBM is Jonathan Bruhl. Bob, as technology continues to evolve, it's important to look ahead and anticipate the innovations. Could you tell us more about how you do trend spotting? Specifically, how advantageous is it to monitor consumer technology trends for their applicable use in government? And could you provide some examples of where this has been successful?
Okay, that's a very interesting question. I think it was about 5 years ago that Comdex stopped having a conference. I may be off by a year or two on that. But I was at a security conference in Las Vegas, and tied into the security conference was the Consumer Electronics Convention, which has about 140,000 people attending it, and it's got every electronic device, every major company. Corporations spend, I've heard, as high as $1 million on displays on the floor. They're huge demonstrations. And I was overwhelmed. The first time I went, I couldn't even figure out how to get around the place, you know, but I knew it was important, and I went back. And also, it brought in the guest speakers. This is where Bill Gates would speak and unveil what Microsoft was going to do and the latest technologies. John Chambers from Cisco would come out and talk about what was going on. HP, all the top executives would speak, and they'd unveil what was happening. And the fascinating part was they would bring people from entertainment, from the federal government, from the movie-making industry, and talk about how technology was affecting their areas. Well, I started looking at things like that, and I said, wow, the impact of the consumer is going to be great. Now, a little vignette that goes with that. Tony Sico, who was the chief information officer at GAO a few years back, we were at a Gartner luncheon, and he was talking, this is quite a few years back, he was talking about BlackBerries, and he said, there's this new device people are using, and we're wondering whether we should support it within the enterprise. Mm-hmm. Well, this is a perfect example of the consumer, or in this case, the government employee, taking an electronic device and changing the way government operates. Nobody today would argue that the BlackBerry has changed the way we do business and the way we think about things. Well, there are other technologies that we've run into, and it actually ties into our labs and a number of things that we're trying to do. Telepresence is one. Telepresence is such an improvement over VTC. You really can be there and see somebody. There's a lot of advertisements on TV, and we're going to use telepresence to project our faculty expertise to these conferences we're going to put on and the courses we're going to offer around the world. There's a number of things that cloud computing is going to do. The concept of plug and play wherever you are. The technologies are going to change the workplace. We talked about net generation people. They're not going to have an office. There's going to be a space that they come to. I recently had faculty down at Duke University, and we had our NDU library librarian down there with us. And really, it's more like a Starbucks environment. You come in, you can have a drink, you can sit down, you can plug in your computer, you can collaborate and do things, or you don't even have to plug in. There's wireless areas too. So there's a number of things that are going on that way. Some other things that we've run into that were important is the ultra-mobile personal computers. These are small computers that have tremendous power that you can hold in one hand, and these are really important for unmanned vehicles and submarines, and we started working with a group called OQO to do that. Voice translation, which is being used in Iraq, that was one of the biggest problems that we had when you're encountering somebody that you don't have, somebody that speaks that language, these voice translators can do it for you, and it's fascinating how they work. That was a technology. 9 to 10 years ago, PDAs weren't that big a deal. So I think we have to look at all these things that are coming out, and they will have a dramatic impact tying into the new generation that uses that, tying into the mobility that it gives us, tying into the workplace of the future and telework. All these technologies are incredibly important. So this is a big convention out here that shows all those technologies.
So how does this impact the classroom of the future?
Well, I think the classroom of the future and the workplace of the future are almost one and the same thing. I'm facing a situation right now where we're expanding and I don't have office space to go into. So we're thinking about, okay, you don't have an office space, Al, you know, or Jonathan, or me. There's an area that we come to. And by the way, we may be in for a couple days this week. You know, we're not going to be in for 5 days. We're not going to be in at 6 in the morning. But we may be here on weekends. We may be here at night. And you have to tie the lifestyle that people want, and you have to give them the collaboration tools so they can do their job. We have people that are teaching distributed learning, and this is a real live case. I had a faculty member on the beaches in Hawaii conducting his distributed learning classes. I mean, why does he have to be in the classroom or in an office to do that? He's got his computer. He's got his students connected. That's all he needs. So it's kind of going to be anywhere.
I'm sure in that situation, his students would like to be with him on the beach.
Yeah, I'm sure they would too.
Well, Bob, let's switch the discussion to you. You've recently been honored as one of the Federal 100 Award winners for your outstanding leadership to the CIO community and for innovative and progressive programs at the college. You were also honored with the 2009 Eagle Award for being a pioneer in distance learning. Could you tell us about each award and importantly, what does it mean to be recognized by your peers?
Well, obviously, when you're recognized by your peers, you feel very good. But also as a leader, I'd be the first to recognize that a lot of times the leader gets the award that the organization has earned. I'm proud to have gotten the award, but I recognize it's through the hard work of many other people. The college, going back to my point at the very beginning, achieved national and international recognition. I think receiving recognition like this when you tie it to the institution helps publicize your institution. And to be honest, that's the important part for me. This interview is the same kind of thing. I can talk about the college and what the college is doing, and maybe some of your listeners will be interested in what we're doing and contact us. But we've received a number of awards. The Distributed Learning Award, we were one of the first ones. We work with Blackboard and help them become DoD compliant. And the rest of Defense did that. We're very proud of that work. And actually, it was a former student that put us in for that. We had no idea this award was coming. And recently, we were also a finalist for the Management of Change Information Solutions Award for what Paulette Robinson had done with Virtual Worlds Consortium. Elizabeth McDaniel, our academic dean, had gotten an award for the college and telework and our policies. We allow our faculty, as I mentioned, to telework. They all don't get to go to Hawaii to do that, but but they do that. And we've received a number of awards, corporate university awards for innovation and best practices. So awards, it's kind of like you go into a restaurant and you look up on the wall and it says best Italian food. Doesn't necessarily say when it happened, but it recognized you for being good. I think recognition is important for an institution.
Well, the college has been extremely successful in establishing dynamic programs and cultivating relationships with partners to support the college in these efforts. To what do you attribute this success, and how does one become a partner with the IRM College?
I don't know. I guess it's been 3 or 4 years that we started talking about partnerships, but for many years, as the academic dean, I was encapsulated, focused on programs, and we started with academic partnerships, and it's like anything else. The more people you're connected to, the better you can do. Partnerships is central to what we're doing. In the private sector, we have over 30 partners now. Now, I would say on partnerships, it's hard. Building a relationship like a marriage takes a lot of work on both sides. There have to be mutual interest. You have to put time into it. And I think the rewards are unbelievable, and it spreads. It, you know, to use your term, Al, the virus. One partner leads to another partner leads to another partner. And when you have a number of smart faculty members out making connections. I use the Jay Alden, Linda Combs thing for the CFO Academy. The big thing for me is to contain that within the purpose of the college and decide what partnerships are worth our time and how much energy to put into it. And obviously, the areas that we're pushing, you know, is interagency, international, and private. The DoD connections we have, although we are now reaching out to the COCOMs more than we ever have because we feel there's a need there and we want to fulfill that need. Building teams is a lot of fun. And I'll just mention this one. Mr. Grimes, when he was assistant secretary at NII, had suggested that we take a look at this company, TIBCO, out in the West Coast, which is into predictive intelligence. And we started working with them, and they suggested that we might want to put a conference on in the Far East because there was a lot of interest there. And so all of a sudden, we now have TIBCO bringing in partners and interests that way. And then TIBCO says, by the way, IBM is doing certain things in this area and working in virtual worlds, and we know you're interested. So all of a sudden, it all ties together. But managing it is unbelievable. And I'm having to bring more staff on to do that. It just mushrooms.
So along this this train of thought, what is your vision for the college? What direction will you take the college within, say, the next 3 to 4 years, and how do you plan to educate, inform, and connect information age leaders?
Okay, I want to read a quote. We had a history written up here, and I was asked the question if I could diagram my vision for the future. And I'm quoting this now. I described it as a series of at least 10 interconnecting crossroads, all meeting at the hub of an English-style roundabout. The titles of the roads were defense, policy, economics, government, private sector, international, interagency, business processes, best practices, and emergent technologies. Every road was chock full of speeding and honking traffic and numerous potential for collision or collaboration. I was the cheerleading cop at the middle of that traffic circle, swinging my arms, shaking my body, and blowing the whistle. I had total confidence I was about to orchestrate a world-class symphony. And I can't blame the diagram on exuberance of youth because it happened just a few years ago. Well, there's a lot going on, and my job is to create that environment so the creative faculty and staff I have can bring these things together. How do I see the future? I think it's going to be totally mobile, incredibly compact, ridiculously nano-tiny, and eye-watering powerful. And everything around you that you see will become hyperized, socialized, networkized, and virtualized.
That's just that's a great visual, just a wonderful visual. Bob, I've one last question, and obviously you're very passionate about your work. You've been very, very successful. But what advice might you give to someone out there who perhaps is considering a career in public service as you have undertaken?
I would say, number one, you want to do the best that you can do. You want to be the best. You want to follow your passion. You need to take risk, but they have to be reasonable risks. You know, you have to do the right thing, but sometimes you have to push the boundaries a little bit. You have to develop partners and friendships. If you don't, those are the things that get you through the hard times and help you along and make it fun. And as my wife likes to say, enjoy the journey because every step of the journey is the journey. We climb mountains, and the interesting thing is you think your objective is to get to the summit, but the fun's really planning it and working to get there. Once you achieve it, it's almost anticlimactic. It's the journey that you have to enjoy.
That's a wonderful perspective. Thank you. Unfortunately, we have reached the end of our time now. I do want to thank you for fitting us into your busy schedule. But more importantly, Jonathan and I would like to thank you for your dedicated service to our country.
Well, thank you very much. The last thing that I have to offer is anybody that's interested in the IRM College, contact me at chiles@ndu.edu. And we do have the Cloud Symposia coming up 15 July, and it's on our website. Just look up ndu.edu/IRMC, and you can sign up for it. It's free.
That's great. Thank you. This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Dr. Robert Childs, Senior Director at the Information Resources Management College within the National Defense University. My co-host has been Jonathan Bruhl, Executive Director at the IBM Center for the Business of Government. As you enjoy the rest of your day, please take time to remember the men and women of our armed and civil services abroad who may not be able to hear this show on how we're improving their government, but who deserve our unconditional respect and support. For the Business of Government, I'm Albert Morales. Thank you for listening.
This has been the Business of Government Hour. Be sure to join us every Saturday at 9 a.m. and visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's conversation. Until next week, it's businessofgovernment.org.